So, here we go. Anointing my head with oil. I have this fun diffuser. You can smell it. I'm borrowing it from my friend Priscilla. And some myrrh, if you want to smell that. And then, when you exit the meeting house, I have it lit up with candles. And I have a whole selection of essential oils. So you can smell them and see if you like any and would like to try them on. Please feel free. Have you ever entered a room and smelled something that slowed down your breathing and caused you to pause and remember? Smell is a central part of memory. The olfactory nerve is connected to the amygdala, that part of our brain that stores memory and emotion. When we smell incense, hi sweetie, or fresh baked bread, eucalyptus leaves, or cinnamon, our brain remembers. I'm always surprised by how quickly my brain moves from fear to comfort with certain smells. Now, our neighbor, Robin Markovich, has a wonderful gift shop on 6A next to Sandy Neck called Painted Daisies. If I'm processing something difficult or carrying too many burdens, I pop into her shop and wander in the soap and candle section. I suggest you try this sometime. Grapefruit scent brightens my mood. Pine scents, like frankincense, remind me of Christmas. Now, ocean scrub soap is my favorite summer soap made here on Cape Cod, as it reminds me of summer days. When I enter a yoga studio, on some days our yoga teacher smudges the air with incense. The space smells cleansed, refreshed, and we are drawn into this womb-like safety of the radiant heat and peace of the sanctuary. See, our scriptures are just dripping with the smells of holy oil. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures and New Testament, we read about healing and anointing with oil. There are nearly 200 references to oil in the Bible. For ancient Israelites, prayer smelled like frankincense, which can smell piney. Cleansing smells like hyssop and royalty were anointed with myrrh. I have myrrh up here if you want to smell that. Myrrh was another one of the gifts brought to the infant Jesus by the wise men. See, I have a newfound fondness for frankincense, which was also one of the gifts brought to Jesus at his birth from my time at the Cape Cod Hospital. As the women of this church gathered around Gail Rockwell this past summer to sing and pray and lift her up as she slipped to life eternal. Reed and I met with a remarkable hospice nurse over there. His name is Will, and shared with him our hopes for Gail to be free from fear and at peace as she transitioned. I had brought with me one of my favorite cooling oils. It's over here, with peppermint infused in it, and said, would it be safe to use on Gail? And yes, Will told me that would be just fine. And then he took me to his office and said, did I want to smell some of his frankincense oil that he likes to use? And I said, absolutely. He uses it for strength. I love that in the midst of the modernity, you guys are welcome to stay. It's no big deal. In the midst of all the things that are going on, the beeps and boops of the hospital, we still bring in ancient oils and cover our bodies and anoint the bodies of those who are dying with oils. Now, why does this matter? Because our bodies are sacred, and when we anoint the head and wrists and feet, we remind ourselves that the other is sacred and loved and blessed. In a way, it is a way we connect with healing and the divine. Rachel Held Evans teaches us that to be anointed with oil was to be chosen, consecrated and commissioned for a holy task. Messiah, or Christ, means anointed one. Today I want to talk to you about why we anoint with oil. After worship, I invite you to try some of those anointing oils that I've laid out on the back table, the communion table. Rachel has some great advice about oils. She writes, "The ancients knew too the healing properties of oils, which are applied to wounds and ingested as medicine. When James instructs the early church to anoint the sick with oil and to lay their hands on the sick and pray, the prescription is both practical and spiritually significant. The journey through suffering is fraught and a holy commission, one the Messiah knew well. Healing may come through prayer, through presence and scent and calming touch, or through the consecrating of the journey as holy, dignified, and not without purpose or grace. The Catholic Church defines the anointing of the sick as the conferral of a special grace on the Christian experiencing the difficulties of a condition, grave illness, or old age. Even in death, the sick are anointed, reminded that the seal of the Holy Spirit is more permanent even than the grave. There is nothing magic about oil. It's merely a carrier of memory, of healing, of grace. We anoint not to cure, but to heal. We anoint to soothe, to dignify, and even in our suffering, to remember the scent of God." I love that notion of remembering the scent of God. What smells remind you of God? The scent of frankincense, myrrh, cinnamon are all traditional smells of God, the Holy One. When we smell lavender, peppermint, we calm down and remember. I love the idea of scent and memory. When we smell these scents, we remember that God abides with us. God comforts us. God covers us with holy oils even as we die. At Gail's bedside, we sang and blessed her on her journey. Chris Haven whispered to me a blessing and a wonderful note that even in the midst of death, there is life. Chris whispered that her daughter was newly pregnant. I love that blending of new life growing in the womb in the middle of the ending of Gail's life. I am reminded again of the poet T.S. Eliot, who taught in his famous poem, The Four Quartets. In the final section, Little Gideon, he writes, "What we call the beginning is often the end. And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. Every phrase and every sentence is an ending and a beginning. Every poem an epitaph. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started for the first time." Smells are incredibly important for the blind. Helen Keller noted that smell is a potent wizard that transports you across thousands of miles and all the years you have lived. Our scripture lesson for today transports us back in time to the end of Jesus' life. When I tire and grow weary from all the work it takes to be a pastor, I remind myself that Jesus' public ministry only lasted 3 years. Allow yourself to inhale the scent of myrrh in this meeting house and let us travel back in time to the week before Jesus' last days on earth. Jesus had been traveling around with his beloved 12 disciples and the women. Rachel Held Evans reminds us how important the women were because the women refer to an unspecified number of female disciples who also followed Jesus, welcoming him into their homes, financing his ministry, learning from him as their rabbi, and teaching the 12 through their acts of faithfulness. While the women appear throughout the Gospels, they feature most prominently in the stories of Jesus' passion, his last meals, arrest, trial, his death, and his resurrection. Because when nearly everyone else abandoned Jesus in fear and disappointment, the women stuck around. Mary of Bethany approached Jesus as he was seated, reclining at the home of Simon the leper. And then she did something remarkable. Mary broke all the rules. She pulled out an alabaster jar of extremely expensive perfume and anointed Jesus' head and his feet. The men said, "Hey, no way should you be touching him." To this, Mary replied with her steadiness and calm, "No, No, she would not go away. No, she would not be controlled by Jesus' handlers, for she was following her own internal guide to love, to serve, and to remember Jesus. And so she anointed him. She anointed the Messiah who is the anointed one. There's my phone. Mary breaks the rules.
People know what I'm doing.
There you go. She anointed the Messiah, who's the anointed one. Mary breaks the rules, breaks the tradition, and even anoints his feet. This audacity frightens the 12 disciples. And then there is the foreshadowing, this writing on the wall that only Jesus and Mary understand, as the room is crowded with confusion. But in the midst of all this symbolism and foreshadowing, Jesus sees something else at work. He interprets the woman's act of worship as preparation for his burial. When the disciples rebuke the woman for what they see as a waste of money, Jesus responds by saying, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you. And you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial." Mary knew that Jesus' time was almost finished on earth. And so she anoints his body with oil. Here's the thing. Whether our bodies are healthy or sick, whether we are still forming in the womb or our growing season is nearing the end, we should bless our bodies. And we can use sacred anointing oils. When we smell these scents of frankincense and myrrh, cinnamon, peppermint, lavender, and eucalyptus, let us draw in the scent of love. God did not promise us easy lives. We will know pain and sorrow and suffering. And yet in the darkness of the tomb and in the darkness of the womb, let us anoint the body with sacred and scented oils. I believe that the sacredness of journeying together heals us, even if there is no cure. Brené Brown, a great sociologist, writes about how she hoped faith would be an epidural for pain. Turns out to be a midwife who says, "Push, I'm here. Sometimes it hurts, damn it." So keep pushing through the pain. We will all need to apply anointing oil to breathe deep and to bear down. God is in this, in all the pain, in our endings and in our beginnings, with just one more surprise, as the hymn goes. I invite you to open yourself to anointing. Breathe in the sense. Listen to the noise inside your brain. Which smells still the noises in your head? Apply that scent literally and inhale and exhale. You are not alone. We as the church abide with you. We will bring casseroles and SIM cards. We will hold your hand and cry beside you. And God knows we need community as well. Let us anoint one another, the young and the old, especially the sick, so the smell of love drips through our fingertips and love runs down as we anoint one another. Blessings and love. Amen.